Hi, this is Joe Levine with a podcast introduction to Chapter 3, The Biosphere. One big idea for this unit states that all forms of life on Earth are connected. Sounds good, but what does it really mean? To get an idea, try this statement on for size. Earth is alive. Now, that might sound more like the chant of a New Age group than something from a textbook. But in fact, the first scientist to suggest that Earth is alive called it Gaia, an ancient name for an Earth goddess. They compared rivers and streams to Gaia's blood vessels. Forests were her lungs, and so on. Some scientists signed on to this Gaia hypothesis, which suggested that the biosphere was a kind of superorganism. At the core of the Gaia hypothesis was an important idea. The notion that the biosphere has evolved in ways that stabilize global conditions over time. As you learned in Chapter 1, biologists call this balancing act homeostasis. You'll learn more about it later. Now, Earth is very much a living planet. Nutrient cycles and other processes that are described in this chapter have major effects on global climate and atmosphere. But dressing up scientific findings in touchy-feely language wasn't the best way to win friends and influence people, at least not in the scientific community. For one thing, the Gaia hypothesis did smack of New Age spirituality, which most scientists want nothing to do with in their work. Why? Because scientists are concerned with events in the natural world that can be explained by natural causes. Science doesn't oppose or contradict either religion in particular or spirituality in general. But science has nothing to say about either of those ways of thinking. Second, some talk about Gaia seem to suggest that the biosphere has some kind of consciousness. There's no scientific evidence for that at all. But Gaia hypothesis aside, mainstream scientists do agree that our planet is alive. At least, Earth is alive in the sense that all its parts are interconnected. What's more, organisms don't just live on Earth. They shape Earth's environmental conditions. In fact, you might be surprised to learn that some of Earth's most fundamental characteristics wouldn't be as they are today if life didn't exist. What do I mean by that? Well, imagine that an alien civilization were to turn its instruments on Earth, the way we analyze stars and other planets from a distance. Without ever coming near us, they could figure out that something strange is going on this planet just by studying our atmosphere. Why? Because our atmosphere contains an unusually high concentration of a highly reactive, deadly poisonous gas. In fact, roughly 20% of the air we breathe consists of this gas. We call it oxygen. Why would the presence of oxygen seem odd to alien scientists? Because oxygen gas is so chemically reactive that it naturally combines with other compounds in the biosphere. Those chemical reactions remove free oxygen from the air and lock it up in other compounds. So if free oxygen in Earth's atmosphere somehow started out with a fixed value, its concentration would steadily fall towards an equilibrium value close to zero. Do you see the puzzle? The presence of free oxygen at concentrations higher than equilibrium is what chemists call disequilibrium. And that disequilibrium demands an explanation. Somehow, some energy-requiring process must be constantly churning out vast quantities of oxygen and pumping it into the atmosphere. As you may have already guessed, this process is photosynthesis. If photosynthesis didn't continually produce oxygen, there would be virtually none of it in the atmosphere. Think about that. The workings of living organisms profoundly influence the composition of the atmosphere that covers our entire planet. You'll learn more about how life and Earth's atmosphere evolved together in Chapter 17. But for now, think about what this means about the relationship between living parts of the biosphere and the physical planet Earth. Years ago, architect Buckminster Fuller wrote an essay entitled Operating Manual for Spaceship Earth. In it, he described our planet as a giant spaceship with life support systems. A lot of scientists back then did think that Earth functioned like a machine. Its geological, chemical, and physical processes support life, but aren't affected by life. In other words, living organisms, including humans, were thought to be passengers on spaceship Earth, but not crew. We know now that that isn't the case. The actions of organisms continually push conditions on Earth away from the physical and chemical equilibrium that characterize every other planet we know of. The atmosphere is one example. Soil is another. The presence of water in liquid form is a third. Planet Earth as we know it has evolved over millions of years by interacting with life. These interactions aren't just ancient history. In a very real sense, living organisms shape our world every minute of every day. Think about that. Because humans, of course, are living organisms. And, like all other organisms, our activities affect the environments in which we live. But unlike any other organism, humans can learn about those effects, think about them, and decide whether or not we like the results of what we're doing. We'll return to this important topic again in Chapter 6.